Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Push me up against the wall, young tucked girl in a push-up bra.
Well, we don't know if we're on the air or not. Welcome back in.
Yeah, we got people telling us we're not on air. So are we on the stream?
If you're listening to the stream, let us know. If you can still hear us, we're going to keep going and trooping on. Maybe at some point during the segment, we'll pop back up.
He said, I love you guys so much, I'm listening to Dead Air for 5 minutes. So we've got that going.
That is loyalty.
Yeah, and everybody's texting in right now, we're not on the air, so this is great.
Well, at least we can throw an interview up on the old podcast afterwards. And he is the trooper. We've been trying to get this one for a while. He's the play-by-play voice on the radio for the Oklahoma City Thunder as game two is tonight. Matt Pinto joining us now. Matt, how are you today, man?
I'm good, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. So game one goes down. Close back-and-forth game. Oklahoma City down by 19. They find a way back. It's kind of one of those interesting games where both teams have something to feel positive and negative about at the same time. What is the reaction that you've seen so far from the OKC side after falling down 0-1 in the series?
Oh, I think, you know, there are a lot of areas they've got to clean up. Obviously, you know, they're not accustomed to the sort of three-point shooting like they had. It was historic, in fact, at 15% and making only five threes. They had set a team record the last regular season game, knocking down 23 three-pointers, so it was a total opposite end of the spectrum. I think that they felt as if they came out too soft. When they finally dug in defensively, they played the final two-and-a-half quarters the way they know they need to play the entire game tonight. So there were some positives, but at the end of the day, they had chances to come back all the way and potentially win that thing, and they didn't do the things they needed to get that job done. And they know now it's on them to even this thing up at 1-1 tonight before they go home.
You know, Matt, a lot of people obviously pointing to Paul George, the injury he's dealing with. He continues to say he's fine. His shooting was horrific, as you mentioned, with their entire team effort from behind the arc. Are we buying it? Are we really to buy that he says he's pain-free and maybe that's just a one-off, or should there be more concern around Oklahoma City?
Well, there's concern. I mean, he has issues with those shoulders. And, you know, nobody in the NBA is at 100% at this point overall. But there's a difference between having nicks and bruises and pain versus being injured. And so that's the question about Paul right now. I don't think he'd be medically cleared unless the medical staff with the Thunder believe that he's capable of going out there performing and being the player that we've seen him be. So I'll be curious to see tonight. I know yesterday in watching him practice, he was definitely back in rhythm. He worked hard. He got a lot of shots up. He did the same at shoot-around today. And the league knows what he's capable of when he gets going. The Blazers are at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. He torched them all season long in the regular season series. So I would expect a much better performance from him tonight.
Yeah, we're talking with Matt Pinto, play-by-play voice for Oklahoma City. Game 2 tonight, 7:30. You can see it on TNT. He joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Going into Game 2 as well, I think the fun part about a series is just watching the adjustments that both teams make and how you analyze what happened, you go over the film, and then you figure out a different way to do it either offensively or defensively. Portland got off to such a good start, and 39 points I think it was in the first quarter. They couldn't miss, and then slowly they got stifled a little bit and they got cold. Is there anything that you saw in the second and third quarter that maybe OKC could take defensively and translate it early on? Because it felt like just kind of two different games there early for Portland.
Yeah, stay within 5 feet of the guy you're defending. And that would be nice. And they finally began doing that in the second quarter. I mean, the first quarter it was like a free-for-all, and the Thunder did nothing well. They were not engaged defensively. They allowed the Blazers far too much freedom of movement and didn't get their signals straight. We're not communicating on the defensive end of the floor. And the end result was 39 points, 7 made three-pointers in the opening quarter, and the Blazers pushed that thing out to 19 only in the second. By the time OKC did get responsive to what the game plan was coming in and did a better job of communicating defensively as to when to switch and when they were going under a screen, when where they were going over a screen, they did a much better job, and they showed a lot more pressure to the ball handlers that Portland has in Lillard and McCollum and Seth Curry, Evan Turner, and that's when things began to turn. And Oklahoma City was able to peck its way back into the game. The Thunder, by nature, are a defense-first team. When they're not engaged at that end of the floor, they're going to struggle because they're not explosive enough offensively without forcing turnovers to give people major headaches on that side of the ball. So I think that as the game wore on until, unfortunately for the Thunder, in the fourth quarter they had breakdowns as well, they gave themselves every chance to win that game despite the incredibly poor start.
Right.
And I think they're encouraged by that. But the bottom line is you got to go out and you got to take the fight to the Blazers tonight physically from the outset. If the Thunder can do that, I think they're the better team. They'll get home court back going home. And should end this series in six games is how I see it.
Yeah, Matt, you know, I have a two-parter for you, and it's about Enes Kanter. And I know what he said in the post game that Donovan said a few years ago that he didn't mean he couldn't actually play him the whole game. It was a miscommunication on what they caught him doing. But there is that stereotype of Enes Kanter. He's so bad defensively, it's tough to play him. We've been worried about that out here from the Portland side of things. One, were you surprised by that performance from him in a pretty big moment for the team? And two, do you expect Oklahoma City maybe to attack him more early, try to get him in foul trouble given the lack of depth at the big man spot?
Yeah, I don't think you game plan strictly for that. I think that would be ill-fated on the Thunder's part. I think you've got to compromise him by using or putting him in a lot of pick-and-roll situations, and whether that creates an ability to drive to the basket for Westbrook and George or simply have Adams rolling and creating problems at the rim, I think it compromises Portland's defense, and then you play off of that. Now, whether that means Kanter gets in foul trouble, I don't know. But he played far more minutes than the Thunder would like to see him play because of his offensive prowess and his ability on the offensive board for the Blazers. So they got to find some way tonight to minimize his impact for certain. I don't know how that will translate, but I do think the Thunder have the personnel to get that job done.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Matt Pinto. He's the radio voice for Oklahoma City, getting ready for Game 2 tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Game 1 was awesome, and this series could be a long, fun one. You know, we've spent so much time focusing on role players for Portland, and we know stars win in the series, and Paul George and Dame, and those guys will be the headliners. But we've been analyzing some of the role players for Portland and who can play better and maybe who needs to step up in case one of those guys doesn't play well. Who are the role players for Oklahoma City that you're circling and saying, man, you got to get more out of them in Game 2 that you didn't get in Game 1?
Well, the two are the starters. I mean, Ferguson and Grant have both been really good. Ferguson more offensively in the second half of the season, Grant all season long. Neither were factors on the offensive end of the floor in Game 1. That needs to change tonight. Ferguson had some ticky-tack foul problems in the opening half that minimized his playing time. He played only 17 minutes. And I think off the bench, obviously, Dennis Schroeder has got to shoot the ball a whole lot better. He was 5 of 17 in Game 1, missed all 7 of his 3-point shots. I think he's a tough cover for the Blazers in terms of what their personnel package is, especially in that second unit, but he's got to make them pay when he's out there in favorable matchups. He didn't do that at all in the opener. So I think there's a lot of room for growth on the offensive end of the floor for the Thunder, obviously. Although you can look at their numbers and give Portland all the credit, the Blazers were first to say in the postgame press conference, there were a lot of substantially open looks that OKC did not knock down in the opening game that, if Portland counts on that happening tonight, I think they'll be in a tough position. They've got to play better defensively themselves, I think, tonight against OKC.
Yeah, you know, Matt, on this show, we actually, if we're being honest, we picked OKC in 6, so our prediction sounds like we were all the same. If Portland is to win tonight, though, do you think Oklahoma City can win this series coming back from 0-2?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible. But I would say making any sort of prediction in the face of having not seen how this game goes wouldn't make any sense. I mean, right. You know, Portland comes out tonight and proves to the world that they're a better team than the Thunder. That's a totally different deal. If they dominate the board, if they get out and distance themselves in a way that, you know, has them winning by double figures, that's a lot different than what went on in Game 1. So I still think the Thunder are the better team, but with George's shoulder somewhat shaky, and OKC being as sporadic as it's been all season long, I don't know what to really count on. So tonight is going to, I think, solidify a lot of what we anticipated coming into the series, and we'll see if it plays off the form and moves in the direction that I anticipated this series would. So I'll be very curious as well. I'll be very curious to see, especially the way the Thunder come out? Do they bring a defensive disposition to the court from the outset? If they do that, I think they establish themselves in game two, get home court, and win the series in six, as we said.
Matt, I don't know if the players, I mean, the players always have these opinions about officials. How do they feel about Scott Foster? He'll be there tonight. And two, on the officiating front, I'm coming from the Portland side of things. I felt like Portland benefited a lot by flopping a little bit and getting a lot of offensive foul calls. How important is stuff like that to this team as well in terms of allowing some physicality to be played, because you mentioned how good they are defensively?
Well, I think there are three areas to me that jump out. One is the obvious, the 5-of-33 three-point shooting. I'd be hard-pressed to say anything close to that will happen again in the course of this series, given what we know about OKC at that end of the floor and shooting the three. They were 22nd in the league in efficiency, but they didn't have a single night like this one all season long. Second thing is, you mentioned the offensive fouls. They had 5 in game one. They had 9 shots blocked. I think to duplicate that is unlikely, along with the 4-of-12 fast break opportunities in terms of failed finishes. They were 4-of-12 in transition in terms of conversion, which is also not like them. So I think, you know, those three things really jump out at me more than any other from game one. But, I'll be curious to see tonight. I mean, Scott Foster's reputation is he inserts himself into the flow of the game unnecessarily. So does that mean he swallows the whistle tonight with Jason Phillips and Carl Lane? Does it mean he calls more fouls than maybe need to be called to disrupt the flow of the game? That remains to be seen. But I think Oklahoma City is going to come out and establish itself physically early in game two, the same way the Blazers did in game one. The Blazers, I thought, were the aggressors from the outset physically. I think they got away with more contact early in game one, and that benefited them as the game unfolded. The Thunder have got to take that bull by the horns in game two.
Yeah, great stuff. Matt Pinto, play-by-play voice for Oklahoma City. Game two tonight, 7:30 on TNT. We can't wait. Should be a fun series. Matt, thanks so much for the time. Hope you're enjoying your stay in Portland, and hopefully we get a good game tonight.
Always. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.